some things you can't fight against and you can't do nothing about. Chapter number one. John chapter number one. And there's just a little bit of scripture we'll read there as we think about John and the things that he's doing. You see two fellows by the name of John. One is John the Baptist and the other is John the writer of the book. And so many times when you're reading, if you will, reading in the book of John, the gospel according to John, realize this, that he will talk about someone many times, and he's talking about himself, but he never names that person. He will say things like that disciple whom the Lord loved, or he will just talk about him or a man or a person. You know, he has just some real indescript ways, but he's describing himself. And I don't know if it's just that he has that much humility or that much doesn't want to be recognized, doesn't want to be in spotlight. You know, there's a lot of folks like that. They don't want to be known or seen. They want the Lord to be seen. So maybe that's what John is doing. But I want you to look, if you will, jump with me all the way down to the 32nd verse in this chapter, verse number 32. And it says, "And John bare record." Now this is John the Baptist. "John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him." Now he is describing Jesus when he is baptized by John. So he's describing that. He said, "And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. And again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he saith unto them, Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, and thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone." Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this evening. Thank you again for your word. And I pray now just bless us tonight as we look into it, as we hear from you, and as you stir our hearts and as you challenge us. I pray just give us something good tonight to rejoice and be thankful and lift up that name that's above every name. And may you get all honor, glory, and praise. And I pray if there's somebody here tonight that needs a touch of God, that needs a special blessing and visit and help from you tonight, would you do that this evening and be a blessing to them? If there's somebody who needs salvation, speak to them, show them their need of salvation alone in Jesus Christ. Again, we'll thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. And amen. Amen. I want to preach to you tonight. I want you to kind of look with me, if you will, as we read these verses. And look in verse number 38, and you'll get the main thought there. And Jesus turned, and he saw them. There were two men that had been following John the Baptist, and now they begin following Jesus, as John pointed out to him, Behold, the Lamb of God. They begin following him, and he saith unto them, What seek ye? And that's what I want to preach to you tonight, about that idea on what seek you, or really, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? Because that's really the question that Jesus asked these two men. They begin following, they begin looking at him, they begin noticing him, and they begin to just leave their discipleship, if you will, with John the Baptist, and now they're beginning to follow him. And as they follow him, Jesus turns around, it says there, and Jesus turned, or said, then Jesus turned, and he saw them following, and he said, "What seek ye? What are you looking for?" I want to preach on that thought tonight, and if you'll just think about that with me, hey, it's the same question today. What is anybody in this world? What are you or anyone else that you know? What are you looking for? What are you looking for? I just want to develop that and think about three things if I can tonight. And notice this idea. First of all, as these men are following John, they're hearing John preach. But John is telling them something that is a little bit different. It's not like John, as many of the rabbis and the religious leaders of their day, they tried to build a following. They tried to build an entourage. They tried to build a group of disciples. And, you know, that wouldn't be unusual. People do that today, right? I mean, you'll see some men go around and they'll say, well, you know, so-and-so has his following. Well, and that may be true with whoever, a teacher or a leader or a business person even. They have these folks that they say are their followers. And here's John. And John has developed a group of people. But all of a sudden, when John is preaching, he is telling everybody, he said, "I'm not really the one you're looking for. I'm not the man. I'm not him. There's somebody that's coming after me, and you see what I'm doing. I'm baptizing with water. There's somebody that's coming after me. He's going to baptize folks with the Holy Ghost. He's going to do a little different kind of baptizing, and it's going to be a spiritual matter, and that's the one you need to see." As a matter of fact, you know that a little bit later on in this first chapter, John begins to talk about himself, and he says to some of them, they say something about, you know, following him. He said, "I must decrease, but he must increase. I'm going off the scene, but Jesus has come, and you're to follow him." Amen. As a matter of fact, you know, a little bit later, you understand that John winds up in jail. John winds up in prison because of Herod. I mean, the followers of him, they're really in a quandary and in a mess now. They don't know what to do. Matter of fact, you know, a little bit later on, they come to Jesus and they said, "We went down and we talked to John while he is in prison. And John said for us to come and find you and ask, were you the one that we're looking for?" You know, something began to develop in the heart of John that wound up being a question or a doubtful season in his life. But Jesus said, "You just go back and tell him what you've seen, that you've seen the sick that are healed and the blind to see and the lame to walk. And thank God, you just go back and tell him the stuff that you've seen." Amen. And just let him know, "I am the one." In other words, John could be like any one of us. We could develop a following. We could develop a group. And something could happen to us. We could let them down. But I want you to know something. Jesus never lets anybody down. Amen. Isn't that good to know? So let's look at this, if you will, and notice some things about these two disciples. And again, I say John is probably talking about himself and Andrew. Now, we know that he's talking about Andrew because obviously it says one of the two in verse 40, which heard John speak and followed him, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And then Andrew goes back and gets Peter and brings him, and you know that story. We'll look at it maybe a little bit part of this. But first of all, I want you to notice this about what are you looking for. First of all, I believe whether you're lost or saved, so people begin to get around church and around folks that have the Spirit of God, and they begin to get around good Bible preaching. They begin to get around somebody that has a witness and a testimony of the Lord. And I just believe this. I believe a lot of times when you do that, that first of all, there is a development of a hunger. I believe there's a hunger that begins to develop on the inside of a person for some reason. And sometimes, you know, there's some people, they don't even know what it's all about. They do not understand why they're going to church or why they want to hear this man preach or why they want to hear somebody stand up and expound the gospel. They don't have an idea why, but there's something there. You ever been there where you were in that stage where you told somebody, I don't know if I believe this or not, but man, you had something on the inside of you that said, go find out. Go find out. Go seek. Go look. Go be there. I believe there's a development of a hunger that you see. The Bible tells us that these men, this is Andrew and John, that they are following John the Baptist for some reason. I mean, they have started this place of developing this hunger. But what they're doing more than anything, look in verse number 35. It says, and again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. John is beginning to help these fellas to develop that spiritual hunger. He says, fellas, look. That's the guy I've been telling you about. That is the one that I've mentioned that is coming. Hey, I told you there's somebody coming after me, and that's him. And you know what John tells them there, first of all, in developing that spiritual hunger? He said, you should be looking for him. You should be looking for him. Don't look for me. Don't be right on my coattail. Don't be trying to do what I'm... He said, I believe you ought to be looking for him. Can I tell you, that's the way it is today. Too many people want to be preacher followers or evangelistic followers or singer followers or whatever it is. Brother, we need to be looking for him. Amen. We need to look for him. I mean, we look for everything. Oh, I'm looking for a church where they got excitement. I'm looking for a church where they're swinging from the chandelier. I'm looking for a church where the singing is tremendous. I'm looking. You know, we say that sometimes, and I understand how we do that. But, brother, the biggest thing, we ought to be looking for him. Amen? We ought to be looking for him. I mean, they are seeking and they are desiring something. And sometimes like that, you don't know what it is. You and I don't even understand it while we're looking and seeking. We don't even know what it is. But there's something there that our inward man is wanting. It's a spiritual void. It's a spiritual emptiness. It's a place that you're looking for something to fill up that empty spot in your life. And I believe these two fellas are there. They're looking for him. But second of all, I want you to notice this. Look in verse number 36 again. And it said, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, this is John, and he's got those two men, Andrew and John, the disciple John, he's got him with him. And he says, behold, the Lamb of God. As they're going, and as these men are following John, all of a sudden, for some reason, Jesus walks by their way, and John said, guys, quit looking at me. Guys, quit looking at anything. He said, I want you to take note. I want you to behold the Lamb of God. I want you to notice somebody that you might have seen him before, but you didn't see him right. But right now, I want you to understand that you're to stop and behold and take a good look at this man. I want you to be looking upon him. You should sight him, and you should discover the person of Jesus. Can I tell you, when you come to church, and when your heart is fretful, when your heart is wondering, when your life is doubtful, when you just really don't know, when you're in that place of seeking and looking, you need to look to Jesus. Oh, preacher, I'm going to go look for a Baptist church. You better look for Jesus. Oh, I think I'm going to go find me the best preacher. You better look for Jesus. I mean, you need to look beyond those things that we tend to look for many times. Sometimes we try, like I say, we try to find, oh, let's go find the best singing. Let's go find the best music. Let's go find the best this and that and the other in the church. Hey, you better go somewhere where Jesus is, and you better be looking for him. Amen? I mean, he's saying, look. Y'all quit following me. Y'all quit looking upon me. Sometimes if we do that, we put too much We put too much confidence. We put too much emphasis. We put too much of us into something like that. And look, hey, that's fine to have people to encourage you. That's fine to have people that you are comfortable with and you don't mind worshiping with. But I'm telling you, don't look at them in the place of the Lord Himself. Amen? We need to look at Him. And it says here in verse number 36, and looking upon Jesus as He walked. I mean, look at Him, man. Look upon Him. I'm telling you, get that. Hey, that sign says that we're lifting our eyes and we're looking upon Jesus. Amen. You and I ought to have our very being centered on the fact that He is the satisfaction for whatever we need in this life. Amen. So, they're first of all, they're looking for Him. They're hunting something. They're looking for something. And then, John says, I want you to look upon Him. But then beyond that, I want you to look in verse number 37. It said, and the two disciples heard Him speak, and they followed Jesus. Now, at first, they were looking for Him. And then they looked upon Him. But now, they're constantly looking at Him. They begin following Jesus. I mean, they've left John. John's giving them some instruction. John was good. John, I'll tell you something. John was a preacher. Amen. John was the man of God. John was sent by God. John had a job as he came. John the Baptist was God's chosen vessel for a particular purpose. But John said, I'm not the one you're looking for. I'm not the Christ. I am not Isaiah. I'm not any of it. I'm just here. I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. I'm just trying to get you to a place where you can see Him. Amen. Do you know that's what the preacher is today? Oh, listen, let me tell you something. There's folks that want to follow preachers. They'll follow a preacher wherever he goes. They'll follow a preacher to, you know, a church or to a whatever kind of meeting or whatever, and they wind up being preacher. I know some folks that are singer, gospel singing group followers. They'll go wherever they're singing, we'll go, you know, that kind of thing. And I don't tell you, and that's not necessarily bad, but can I tell you, you better be following the Lord. He better be wherever, whatever you're looking for is going on. So, listen, they should be looking at Him. And they heard Him. They followed Him. They become sensitive and discerning about there's something about this man. I mean, man, you and I ought to be able to look in this Bible and you begin to see Jesus in everything that you look at. You ought to see Jesus on every page. You ought to see Jesus in the book of Genesis as the Creator. You ought to see Jesus in the book of Exodus as the Lamb of God. I mean, you ought to see Genesis in a different way. And Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. You ought to see Christ Jesus in every book of the Bible. Amen. Because you know what? He's there. Amen. He's the Lamb of Psalm 23. He's the crucified one in Psalm 22 that's crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But He is the King of glory in Psalm 24. I mean, anywhere you want to go in that book, He's there. And you and I ought to see Him. We ought to be looking for Him. We ought to be looking upon Him. We ought to be constantly looking at Him. And that's where these guys are. They have developed a spiritual hunger. But I want you to look beyond that now. That's the development of a spiritual hunger. But I want you to notice they have a desire for a spiritual relationship. I want you to notice what happens next. It said in verse number 37, two of the disciples which heard Him speak, and they followed Jesus. There was, as I say, these two men, Andrew, John, and they hear Jesus, and they begin to follow Him. They begin to, wherever He's going, we're going. Whatever He's saying, we're listening intently. Whatever place He is traveling, because this is the Lord. I mean, they begin to realize the things that John had been preaching, if you'd say, in a prophetic way, that there was somebody coming that was the Messiah. They begin to look for Him. And they begin to see Him. So here they are, And as they do this, listen, they say, we have a desire of a spiritual relationship. I want you to notice this. As it said, they're following Jesus. Look in verse 38. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, what seek ye? Do you notice what Jesus said? Jesus, look, and let me just tell you this in case you like to note things in your Bible or highlight or whatever you do. Those are the very first words that are spoken by the Lord in the book of John. And Jesus says, what seek ye? I want you to notice this. Jesus did not say, who or whom seek ye? He didn't ask that question. He said, what? What are you looking for? What are you guys doing out here? What are you guys following me for? Can I tell you, you and I ought to ask the same question. Why did you come to church? What are you here for? Why? What's the deal? Why are you here in the church service constantly? Why did you come back again? I'm telling you, what are you trying to find? And can I tell you, I'm trying to find Him. I'm trying to find His will. I'm trying to find His word. I'm trying to find His way. I'm just trying to find out all I can about Him. Amen. That's what I'm looking for. You know, there's a lot of folks, as I say, I guess the question could be, who are you looking for? Well, we're looking for somebody that can blah, blah, blah. No, that wasn't it. Jesus didn't say, who are you looking for? He said, what seek you? What are you looking for? What is driving you in this area? And as I said, they have a desire for a spiritual relationship. They're trying to find a spiritual relationship. As I said, this is the first words that you find in the Bible. And the very first words that you find in the Bible that Jesus speaks is in Luke chapter number 2, down toward the end of verse 49, I think, when Jesus says, wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business. That's the very first words that Jesus, but everything that Jesus says, and you may have a red letter Bible. That's great. It's just a lot easier to identify those things. But when you see those things that Jesus says, pay attention to those, okay? And we particularly pay attention to the first words and to the last words that anybody says, right? But can I tell you, some of the last words that Jesus says in the Bible are the same things that He says here in some of the first words. Jesus says, what seek you? And they say unto Him, Rabbi, which that is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? I mean, He said, what are y'all trying to find? Let's look at this just for a minute and notice that, first of all, in their way of developing this spiritual relationship, they want to know, they're doing a little investigation. They're doing an investigation about this matter of Jesus. Where dwellest thou? You see that word dwellest? It's that little Greek word, M-E-N-O, and it means abide or stay, if you will. That's just pretty common for us to say, you know, where do you stay? They want to know where Jesus, I mean, where are you hanging out? Can I tell you, the blessed place me and you can hang out is wherever Jesus is hanging out. Amen? I mean, hey, they want to know, where are you going? I mean, we're not worried about John anymore. We're not worried about family. We're not worried about friends. We're not worried about, hey, Andrew isn't even worried about his closest brother. But he said, I want to know where do you go? And really, the investigation is this. They want to know where Jesus is, where He is staying, if you will, where dwellest thou. And they want to know, man, they've got a hunger. They want to know more. And in that question, they're asking really for an allowance from Him to come and stay with them. And listen to what Jesus says. As I say, this is the second thing that He said. He saith unto them, come and see. And they came and saw where He dwelt. Jesus says, come and see. Y'all come on and see where I'm at. And they came and saw where He dwelt, and abode with Him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Now, we're not absolutely certain of this. I think, now this is my thinking, the 10th hour could have been on Roman time, it would have been 10 in the morning. Okay, that's possible. In Jewish time, the 6 o'clock in the morning was the first hour. So that would be 6 o'clock in the afternoon, would be 12 o'clock, 6 hours. And then the 10th hour would be about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I think it was probably about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They've been following John that morning. They've been hearing John preach. All of a sudden, John points out Jesus, and they say, "Where dwells he?" And Jesus said, "Come and see." And I believe they'd go and they stayed with him, much like you see in John 3, where Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. These men came in the late afternoon, and they said, "We just want to go and sit down with you and talk with you just a little bit." There's an investigation. They want to know what he knows. They want to know what he's got to say. They want to know what he's all about. Can I tell you, that's the way it ought to be with me and you. Amen. I don't know what he's got to say about this. I don't know what he thinks. I don't know what his word is toward this issue or this thing going on in my life. I want to know what he's got to say. And these guys have developed a spiritual hunger, and now they are trying to develop that spiritual relationship, and they just want to get as close to him as they can. They're trying to get as much out of him as there is for them to get. And Jesus says, "Well, come and see." And you know, I like that. Jesus said, "Come and see." You notice what it says? And they came and saw. I mean, hey, Jesus said, "Come and see." I want to tell you something. In your Bible, the word "come," Jesus uses several times. Jesus says here, "Come and see." John 7, verse 17, Jesus says, "Come and drink of the water of life." And then in John 21, most of y'all know this, in verse number 12, Jesus says, "Come and dine to the disciples." Thank God Jesus has got invitation. Hey, we talked about this morning. Matthew 11:20. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden." I want you to know the word when Jesus says come, it's an open invitation to whosoever will. You've got an invitation to come to him. Amen? And these men had an open invitation from Jesus. I mean, he said, "Come and see." You got an investigation. Then you get an invitation. Jesus said, "Come on and see. I want you to come and see me. Come." And in the book of Revelation in chapter 22, and one of the very last things that Jesus says is, "Let him come that is athirst." Amen? I'm telling you, there's an invitation given throughout the Bible to come to Jesus. And can I tell you, that invitation still is good today. Wherever we are, however we gather, whoever's present, it's still an open invitation to whosoever will. Let him come. Let him come. Amen? Aren't you glad that Jesus is still saying to folks, "Come to me"? There's an investigation. There's an invitation. And then I want you to notice this. There is an invigoration that they get when they come and stay with him. Listen to what the Bible says. It says that he saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt. And it said, and they abode with him that day. For it was about the 10th hour. You know what they did? Jesus said, "Well, just come on. I'll show you where I live." They went to his house. And they just set up camp right there. Amen? Don't y'all love that? Y'all tell people all the time, "Just come over to the house sometime and see us." Or when they come, you're over there praying, "Lord, please help them to leave." Amen? I mean, you know, like old guy told me one time, he said, "We're going to go to bed. Y'all might want to go home." Hallelujah. Amen. But let me just tell you, friend, they came and Jesus invited them and they just stayed with him. And one of the old writers said this, they liked what they heard so well. You know what they did? They just followed him from their own out. If you look at this, hey, you see, we're talking about it. Andrew goes back and finds Brother Peter and said, "Come on, I've got to show you somebody. This is the one we've been looking for. This is the Messiah. This is the Christ." And as he brings him to him, hey, you know what they do? They sell their boat. They get out of the fishing business. You know what they do? Jesus said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." You know what they did? They left all and they followed him. They liked what they heard. They liked where they were. They enjoyed the relationship, the spiritual relationship, so much that they just went on. They didn't just stay for an afternoon. They just didn't stay overnight. They just stayed on with him forever. Amen. Now, I believe that's the way it ought to be when we develop that spiritual hunger, when we develop that spiritual relationship. And listen, one more thing. Their devotion to Him gives them a spiritual witness. I mean, I want you to notice what happens. Here they go. And they go and they stay with Him. And then it says about 10th hour. Well, it's getting late. Yeah, but you know what? We hate to go home. You remember the story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus after Jesus has died and has risen again. And it said there was two of them that were on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus came to them. And they really didn't know that it was Him. He was hidden from them for some reason. They just didn't recognize Him. And as they're walking down the road, you know, and their heads are low and their hearts are broken. And Jesus looks at them and He said, What's wrong with you guys? And they said, hadn't you heard? And He said, heard what? And they said, Jesus. And they began to say, Jesus was the Savior, the one that we'd hoped to redeem all of Israel. Oh, our hope and our joy, that He died. And today's the third day, and we just don't know what to think about it. And Jesus began to talk to them. He said, oh, you foolish and slow of heart to believe. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into His glory? He said, don't y'all know the Bible? And they began to look at Him like, what are you talking about? And it says that He begins to open the Scriptures to them by the way. He begins to tell them out of the Bible how that Jesus was predicted to come, how that Jesus was predicted to die, and how that Jesus, the Savior, was predicted to rise again from the dead. And it said as they went on their way, that He made as though He would go further. And they constrained Him, saying, abide with us. And they took Him into their house that evening, and He sat there, and He blessed them with the Word of God, and He explained and expounded the Scripture to them, and they understood more and more, and their hearts were lifted and excited, and I mean invigorated, if you will. They were excited about what they heard. And then the Bible said He took up the bread. They were getting ready to eat. Took up the bread. He blessed it and He broke it. And then He vanished out of their sights. And they looked at each other and they said, did not our hearts burn within us as He opened the Scriptures by the way? I mean, they got, man, there was something that happened and flooded their souls when they got around Jesus and the preaching and all of the excitement there was about what He had to say about the resurrection. Amen? Can I tell you, me and you ought to get that excited about some things. We ought to get that excited about the resurrection of Jesus. I mean, listen, those things that He was saying, it gave a witness to those. And here you see these, and especially you talk about Andrew. Look what it says there, verse number 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him, speaking about following Jesus, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now we're going to know who Simon Peter is before this whole thing's over. But it says, hey, this is how Simon Peter heard about the Lord. How did he hear about Him? He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. He's already told him, you're going to be the rock of this whole bunch. And I'm sure Peter's like, I don't know what any of this means, but I'm ready to find out, right? And he winds up, of course, being one of the great disciples that has followed the Lord. But here, there's a devotion that says these men, I mean, here they are, and they give a spiritual witness of Christ. They give a spiritual witness. You know why? Because they had a spiritual hunger. They developed a spiritual hunger. And then after that, man, they desired a spiritual relationship. They got involved with Jesus. And you know what that did? That gave them that gave them a devotion to have a spiritual witness. Brother, that's what ought to happen to me and you. You ought to have a little bit of excitement in your heart when you say you know Jesus and somebody else comes up. You say, man, can I tell you what He's done for me? This is somebody we've been looking for. He saved me. He cleaned me up. He put me on the road to heaven, wrote my name above. Amen. Can I tell you about Him just a little bit? Amen. I want you to notice, you see some things here out of the life of this spiritual witness. First of all, look what it says in verse number 41. It says, he findeth his own brother Simon. Can I tell you, boy, when you get to having a spiritual witness, you'll begin to find some folks that you're concerned about. He had a concern for others. He found his brother. He said, hey, I need to tell my brother what has happened to me. I need to tell my brother about who we've met. I need to tell my brother, well, this is who we've been looking for. He has a concern. He has a concern for others that need. Second of all, aren't you glad he's got a confidence? What does he say? It said, he findeth his own brother, and he saith unto him, we have found Messiah. He said, being interpreted is the Christ. He said, we've found the Christ. We have found the chosen one. We have found the anointed one, of the one we've been looking for. We found him. Now, that was a pretty confident statement. But can I tell you, when you find Jesus, you'll have some confidence. It won't be any problem. Can I tell you? Hey, the songwriter said, I'm standing on the solid rock. Amen? All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. I have a confidence. I have an assurance. The word that you have in your Bible is hope. Now, in our English language, we've kind of messed that word up, haven't we? Boy, I sure do hope the Braves win the World Series this year. But that ain't no guarantee of nothing, is it? Somebody say amen right there. Right? My wife said amen. That's right. They can't even. We'll get into that. But ain't worth a flip sometimes, right? But can I tell you, when I say my hope is in Jesus Christ, that word, that Bible word, hope, means assurance. It means definite, I mean absolute trust. My hope is in Jesus. I don't hope I'm saved. I have the hope of salvation. It is the assurance that I find because of what Christ did for me. He died for me. He shed his blood for me. He rose from the dead for me. Praise God. I'm saved. Amen. And if you've trusted him, you are too. You can have that confidence. What was it Fanny Crosby said? Blessed assurance. Amen. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Amen. Heir of salvation. I mean, listen, I'm telling you, we know we have that assurance that we're saved. John says in his own writings over in the third chapter of his little John writing, the last chapter, he says, and he said, written these things that you may know that you have that blessed assurance. I mean, you can know that you're saved. Now, I've seen people struggle. I've seen people wonder. I've seen people worry. I've seen people doubt. I've been one of them at different times. But can I tell you today, I'm saved by him. I got that confidence. And that's what Peter's brother comes and tells him. We found him. I mean, hey, you think it's really? Yeah, it's him. I'm confident in the fact. He has a concern. He has a confidence. And then look at this. He absolutely has a commitment to his brother. Look what it says. It says, he findeth his own brother Simon, saith unto him, we found the Messiah, which being interpreted as Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. He just brought him to Jesus. Can I tell you, the first soul winner in your Bible is Andrew. He gets his brother and brings him to Jesus. Amen? He said, come on, you got to meet him. You got to say, you got to find him. Boy, he was so confident in what he had that he said, I'm committed to getting you to him. Amen? I'm gonna bring you into his very presence. And he does. Amen. It's a commitment. He brought him to him. You know, that makes us wonder sometimes about what people say about who Jesus was. Some people say, oh, it's just all a myth. It's just a myth. It's just a fairy tale. It's just a story. I've heard people say this. It's a story that some people tell their kids to scare them into acting right. Can I tell you? That's what they say. Oh, they'll say, well, you better believe in Jesus. You'll die and go to hell. And they're just trying to scare kids. Brother, I'm telling you, he's a fact. Was he a myth? Was he, and a lot of folks say this, he was just a mere mortal man. Just like the rest of them. He's just like anybody. Can I tell you, he was not. Thanks be unto God, he is the Messiah of God. He is the Son of the living God. He is the one that redeemed me from my sin. I don't tell you, he had the precious blood that nobody else has ever had. He had the blood of heaven. He had the blood of his Father, which came through the virgin birth as the Holy Ghost overshadowed that little girl Mary. Amen? I'm just telling you, hey, he's different than anybody else. And here's Andrew saying, Peter, we found him. And he brings him to Jesus. And Jesus beheld him, beheld Peter. And he said, thou art Simon, son of Jonas. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. He told him, hey, I'm the real big rock, but you can be a little rock established upon the big one. Did you know that you can too? If you're not rock solid on Christ Jesus right now, you can be. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing some song, if you would, this evening. I'm telling you, brother, there's some spiritual things in our lives that we ought to just nail down. And I'm telling you, you ought to develop that hunger. You ought to desire that relationship. And, I mean, you ought to be right there in that place where you can be part of Him and realize, hey, I'm assured that I'm a child of God tonight. And I know Him. I want Him. I want to be around Him. I want to hear from Him. I want to know more about Him. Amen? Let's stand tonight, if you would. What are we going to sing, Brother Ronnie?
357.